Morning. Today's daf is daf Chaf Gimel in Zvachim. After somewhat of a trek, we finished finally with Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim, the question of washing your hands. In order to do the Avodah, the Mishnah back in the beginning of the second parak says to us that's one of the things which is Ma'akev, which disqualifies the Avodah. Kohen does the Avodah while having his hands unwashed in the morning. And we discussed now for 3 days the sugya of Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim, the washing of the hands and the feet. Gemara left a lot of questions open-ended in terms of some of the details regarding Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim. And in the Gemara, we finish the sugyas. We begin today on Chaf Beis Amud Beis on 22b, and we start now with the topic of Arel. Where basically, we're churning along, we're chugging along in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave us a list of 10, possibly 11 things that disqualify the Avoda from the point of Kabbalah and onward, from the point of receiving of the blood. So the Mishnah talked about a non-Kohen, an Onain, someone who lost a relative on that day, Kohen who lost a Karov on the day the Yom HaMisa, Tful Yom, Mechusa Kippurim. Those are examples of people who are tummy with still residual tum upon themselves. Mechusa Begadim, lacking in clothing. We spent 2 days discussing that. Shalom Rachatz Yadayim V'Raglayim, and not washing hands and feet. And now we're up to the next two in the Mishnah. Today we're going to cover the next two. The next two in the Mishnah is Arel and Tameh, an uncircumcised Kohen, and a Tameh, and a Kohen who is Tameh. Okay? And those will be the topics that we're going to hopefully cover over the course of today on Zvachim on Daf Chaf Gimel. Obviously, we spent a long time on this Mishnah. The Mishnah takes us all the way back to Tezvav and Days, right at the beginning of the second parak, and we're now 8 days later, and we're still... I know Hanukkah, and we're still doing the Mishnah, and we will be on this Mishnah for a couple more days, as we, because it gives the Gemara the opportunity to discuss all these various categories in the Mishnah and really explore a lot of these categories. Arel, we're talking now about the uncircumcised Kohen, Mi Nalan. How do I know that if he does the Avoda will be pasul? It will be disqualified just because he's uncircumcised. So Amar Chista Davazemi Toras Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamanu. So you're not going to find this in Chumash. Open up a Chumash. Go through Parshas Emor. Go through all the disqualifications of the Kohen, and the Torah never discusses an Arel. Good. So it's not mentioned in the Torah. Medivrei Yecheskel Ben Buzi Lamanu. However, it is discussed in Sefer Yecheskel. So if you open up a Sefer Yecheskel and you read in Sefer Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalid, so you're going to find that Yecheskel Hanavi clearly talks about the Arel, the Kohen who's an Arel. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Ko ben echa Arel, leiv Arel basar. Lo yavo el mikdashi. So the Pasuk first starts off by saying, you can't even walk into the base of Mikdash. If you are Arel leiv and Arel basar, uncircumcised of the heart and uncircumcised of the flesh. Now, the Arel that we talk about in our Mishnah is the one who is an Arel basar, meaning that's what our Mishnah is talking about. But the Pasuk in Yecheskel is talking about two things. It's talking about an Arel Lev and an Arel Basar. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Meanwhile, however, the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, Lo Yavol HaMikdashi, they can't walk into the base of Mikdash. Good. So that just tells us that they shouldn't. How do I know that if they do, it's disqualified? Uminalan, demachle avoda. How do I know the avoda becomes chulin, becomes desecrated, becomes defiled? Dechziv aviyachem bnei necha arlei lev arlei basar lios b'mikdashi lechalalos beisi. So again, just read on in the pesukim in Yecheskel, and you read on in the pesukim, and you're going to see very clearly lechalal es beisi. They will be mechalal. They're going to profane whatever avoda they're involved in. Tan Rabban, just quickly run through the next piece of Gemara, and we'll discuss a little bit more about these aspects. Ben Nechar. Now, the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, Kol Ben Nechar. Now, literally, that translates as a foreigner. Right? Ben Nechar. Someone who's a stranger. Now, what we're saying in the Pshat in the Pasuk in Yecheskel is Ben Nechar is not referring to a non-Jew. That's not what it's referring to. But rather, it's referring to a Jew. Specifically, of course, a Kohen, because we're talking about doing the Avoda. Yochel ben Nechar Mamish, I might have thought, as a Havamina, that the Pasuk's talking about someone who's really a ben Nechar, someone who is really a foreigner. Tamar Lama Arolev. So the Gemara says, no, can't be, because juxtaposed to that is the Arolev. Arolev is obviously referring to a Kohen. So based on the Hekesh, the ben Nechar is also referring to a Kohen. So how can you be a Kohen and a ben nechar. How does that work? So im ke matam alam ben nechar shenis nachru ma'asav la aviv sheba shamayim. Nechar, he's a stranger, not that he wasn't born Jewish, not even born Jewish, born a kohen, he was. It's that he becomes a stranger in the sense is nisnachru ma'asav la aviv sheba shamayim. Yeah, God doesn't recognize him anymore. He's not behaving like a kohen. For that matter, not behaving like a Jew. And he is disqualified from going into the Beis HaMikdash, and he can't do the avoda. That's the arel lev. That's the arel lev that we're talking about. The ainli ella arel lev. Good. Now we move on. Arel basar mi nine tam alomer v'arel basar. And that now we know that the kohen who is an arel lev, who is unrecognizable to Hashem because of his actions, right? Like we like to say often, he's off the reservation. We know that he can't do the avoda. How about an arel basar? Arel basar can do the avoda. Utsrichan, the Gemara says, and I need to make both of these points. The pasuk in Yecheskel needs to articulate both the arel lev and the arel basar. The ikas rechman arel basar mishum demais. Because look, the arel basar, he's mais. He's disgusting. He has a physical blemish. Meaning I could point to him and I could say to him, I see that he has a physical disqualification in that he's not circumcised. Ava arel lev de la mais, but an arel lev, physically he is not blemished. So I might have thought, look, you know, he may have some religious issues, but I might have thought that he can still do the avoda, emalo, v'yesh mina arolev mishum de'li b'la shamayim. And then you can make the counter argument. If the Navi in Yecheskel only would have talked about arolev, yeah, but look at him. Look at the way he behaves. The behavior disqualifies him. Aval arol baster de'li b'la shamayim. But an arol baster who's liba la shamayim. Meaning, look, he's a good guy. He just didn't get a bris milah. Emalo, I might have thought. No, tzricha. Therefore, both of these categories need to be spoken out. The Navi Yecheskel talks about both of them, the arel lev and the arel basar. 2 points. Number one, we're going to say what we always say in these regards, meaning the Gemara over here doesn't express itself the way it normally does, in that, I understand, if the Chumash doesn't talk about it, so, right, Yecheskel ben Buzi is going to get up and start talking about new mitzvahs in the Torah? Right? And obviously, no. It's halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, is really part of the oral tradition. And then Yecheskel ben Buzi just took the oral tradition and put pen on paper. And he wrote down, you know, this is part of our traditions, part of our Mesorah, that a ben Nechar and an Ariel cannot do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. And now Yecheskel just simply takes and puts pen on paper. But it's really part of the oral tradition. That's point number one. Just give me a moment. Point number two. We talk about the RL. So I told you Rashi is super consistent. Rashi throughout all of Shas always says that when we're talking about an RL, we're talking about someone who didn't get a bris milah. Why? Because he was an ones. Because he couldn't. He couldn't get a bris milah. Rashi gives the example where he had older brothers, two older brothers. They both died on account of having received a milah. And so therefore, when he's born, parent, mom and dad did the right thing in not giving the son a milah, and that's how Rashi always explains the words arel. Rashi's pshat is totally supported by the Gemara that we just learned. Because if you look carefully back at the Gemara that we just learned, what do the Gemara say? The Gemara says that when it comes to an arel baser, deliba la shamayim, meaning he's a good Jew. It just happens to be that he doesn't have a bris milah. That totally supports Rashi, because Rashi will say, look at the Gemara and say, exactly. Meaning, he didn't get a bris milah, but for extenuating circumstances that are beyond his control. But other than that, other than the fact that he couldn't get a milah, he's totally on the reservation. He's here. He's, you know, he's a good Jew. Right, so that's Rashi, and Rashi consistently says that throughout all the Gemaras. Take a look over here. Tosfos, a modified version, short version of Tosfos, second Tosfos on the page, quotes Rashi's grandson, who disagrees with Rashi. Shocking. It happens. Rashi says, Mefarsh Rabbeinu Shlomo b'chol makom shemesu achav machmas milah. So first he makes the note, the observation that we made, that throughout all of Shas, Rashi says, when we talk about an Ara, we're talking about somebody who did not get a milah because his brothers died on account of milah. And Rabbeinu Tam Mefarsh, demumar la'arelus v'kari le libo l'shamayim. So, I'm sorry. Well, let me do that again. Rabbeinu Tam Mefarsh, demumar la'arelus. Rabbeinu Tam says, no. We're talking about someone who's a mumar la'arelus. Meaning, how come he didn't get a bris milah? He didn't want to get a bris milah. Right? I'll pass. Now, obviously, what you have to say, right, in this Rabbeinu Tam shot, is that at 8 days of age, mom and dad didn't give him bris milah for whatever reason, and then at 13, where the young man has to now make that tough decision in life, and that I know mom and dad didn't do the right thing, but now I need to do it. I need to get a bris milah. So, and then he says, "No, I'm not going to. I don't want to." So this is how Rabbeinu Tam explains the Gemara. Then the tricky part of Rabbeinu Tam is to take that pshat and fit it into our Gemara. That's tricky. That's very tricky. Because our Gemara says regarding the Arel Basar, is Liba LaShamayim. He's with God. Hard to understand, difficult to understand, how he opts out of doing a bris milah, and the Gemara can still call him Liba LaShamayim, his heart's with God. So, Rabbeinu Tam recognizes this is an issue, and he writes like this. The Karile Libo LeShamayim, Lefisha Eino Osa Elamidagat Sar HaMila. He doesn't get a bris milah, but it's not a religious thing. It's a much simpler issue. It's painful. It's extraordinarily painful to get a bris milah, right, when you are now at an advanced stage of life, you're an adult. And now, right, 8 days of age, that's easy. Right?
Easier.
Right? But 13 years of age to get a bris milah, that's not easy. And so Rabbeinu Tam has no problem saying that on one hand he's libo l'shamayim, right? He is definitely a God-fearing individual, and at the same time he doesn't do the mitzvah of milah because it's painful. And Rabbeinu Tam says that's not a challenge. Both could be true. It's painful. I don't want to get a milah. I'm not going to get a milah. I know it's the mitzvah in the Torah. And at the same time, it's generally speaking, libo l'shamayim. Meaning I'm with God. It's just, this mitzvah is too painful. It's too difficult. And that's how Rabbeinu Tam, right, takes his pshat and works it into our Gemara.
So he's not uncircumcised slave because he's...
Right. In other words, right. He's still with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but... just not milah. That one's too difficult. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. That is Rashi Rabbeinu Tam regarding an Arel. Good. All right, and now we move on. Next, middle of Chav Beis, Amud Beis, we do the topic today of Tameh. I'd like to start and finish the topic of Tameh today. It takes us to Chav Gimel, Amud Beis. It takes us to the two dots. And it's going to be somewhat of a tricky discussion. Okay, the Mishnah Kipshuto is so simple. The Mishnah basically says that if you have a Kohen who's Tameh, he is puzzled. He can't do the Avodah. In fact, if he does the Avodah is Mechulal. It's disqualified. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. And Pshuto Shal Mishnah, the simple Pshuto on the Mishnah is, regardless of how he becomes Tameh, meaning as long as he's genuinely Tameh, Tumah Daraisa versus Tumah Darabanan, not going to be our topic of discussion. We're going to talk about strictly Tumah Daraisa, right? Bona fide Tumah Min HaTorah. So the Mishnah tells us that if he's Tameh, that's it. He's Pasul. He can't do the Avodah. And the simple pshat in the Mishnah is, it doesn't matter what the source of Tumah is. It could be a mace. He comes into contact with a dead body. It could be sherets. He could be coming into contact with one of those creepy, crawly insects that the Torah says, when dead, gives off tumah as a source of tumah. Could be nevela. It could be the tumah that emanate from his body. Could be that he's a zav. That he touches a nida. Okay? I'm just giving you an assortment of different suggestions in terms of what the Mishnah is discussing. And the Pshuto Shel Mishnah is that's discussing all those topics. Good. Tamei Amru Ziknei Darim. So from here until the end of the daf, we're going to be discussing today a real novel chiddush, given by the Ziknei Darim, the elders of the south. Okay, who are they? I don't know. Not only do I not know who they are, I don't know when they lived. I don't know if they're Tanaim. I don't know if they're Amoraim. And you'll see throughout the discussion that the Gemara is going to have Amoraim get to challenge them. So ostensibly, they are Amoraim, but it's totally unclear. The Gemara doesn't give us any identification of who they are from this point forward to the end of today's daf. We're just simply going to call them Ziknei Darim, the elders of the south. If they are Amoraim, just a little geography lesson. All the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael lived up north. They all did. They all lived in the Tveria, Hoshaya section of Eretz Yisrael, right by the Kinneret. Right, that's why if you go to Tveria nowadays, you could spend about a week going from one kever of another kever of Amoraim and of, you know, and of the Rabbanim who lived afterwards. So Zikne Daram, it could be that there was a, you know, there was a group, there was a small group, a small yeshiva somewhere in the south. South here could even mean Yerushalayim. Could be. Just, you know. No, I'm saying I understand that, but the community in Israel was flushed up north. Right? In other words, after the Churban Habayis, after the destruction of the temple, Yerushalayim was not the main location of all these people. They all moved up north. So mostly moved up north. Okay. So Amru Ziknei Darom. So the elders of the south come up with the following suggestion. It's a novel chiddush. And just give you an overview of today's daf. Essentially, they will be rejected. Their chiddush is going to be rejected. So but they themselves don't seem to ever recant on their position. What is their position? Lo shenu elo tamei sheretz. Our Mishnah that disqualifies the avoda of a kohen when he's tamei is only talking about tumas sheretz. Aval tamei meis, but not tumas meis. Why not? Because we find that by Tumas Mace, a community can bring a carbon while in a state of Tumas Mace. Now, what the Zikne Dharma is referring to is the Carbon Pesach. Right? We know that by the Carbon Pesach, if Rove Tzibor, if the majority of the community is Tame, specifically Tumas Mace, so then you're allowed to bring the Carbon Pesach in a state of Tumah. Not only bring the Carbon Pesach in a state of Tumah, eat the Carbon Pesach in a state of Tumah. So Zikne Darim said, so what do you see? You see that when it comes to Tumas Mace, there's an allowance, there's a dispensation. So their argument is, once we see there's a dispensation by Tumas Mace, so therefore it must mean that if a Kohen does the Avoda while he's Tumay Mace, also the dispensation applies as well, in that the avoda is okay. It's not, right, even though I just create an equation between the community and the individual, it's not exact. Even in Zikne Darom thinking, it's not exact. Because when the community is Tameh, it's more than that they're allowed to bring the Carbon Pesach in the right time. They need to, they must bring the Carbon Pesach in the right time. This Pesach Sheni concept is only for individuals, not for the community. Okay. And even in the Zikne Darom thinking, they're not going to say to the Kohen who's Tamei Meis, please, come here, you do the Avoda. All right? They're not going to invite him to do the Avoda. They're just simply arguing that if he does the Avoda, it's not Mechulal. It's not profaned.
In the Carbon Pesach case, we're assuming that a Kohen, if the Rove Tzibor is coming, you could have a Tamei Kohen
too? Assuming that it's totally, I mean, there is the classic question, the classic question of Hutra Dechuya, right, which the Gemara Pesachim does discuss, meaning, should we still try to minimize the amount of Tumah? So the Gemara Pesachim does discuss that.
Whether the assumption is that, in terms of Dechuya, even if that's
not true, Zikne Darom is still going to make their argument, meaning that they're talking categorically.
A bunch of jumps.
Agreed. Right. Agreed. They're talking categorically. Since categorically Tumah is lifted, so therefore, when the Kohen does the Avoda while he's Tameh, it's okay. Correct. Agreed.
And what are the parameters of Tumah attributes about carbonos? Like, when does that apply?
Only it has to be a carbon with a specific time. It's b'mo'ado, right? The Gemara in Pesachim says keeps hitting on. It has to be carbon brought at a specific time, and you have to have Rov Tzibor in the majority of the community.
Does that mean like Atamid?
Atamid, Carbon Pesach, Musaf.
In that case, a Kohen can bring it also.
Seemingly.
There, the Tumah wouldn't have to be Tumah space, would it?
No, that's exactly the point of Zikne Darom.
No, but that's a hole in their argument.
It is too much.
Wait. Okay, we're going to... The entire taf today is going to be dedicated to this chiddush of Zikne Darom. Okay, so... Ihachi tami sheretz nami. Leithi b'kavachomer. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Okay, so their argument is, right, this is the basis for the entire daf today. So you got to really stick with, you know, hold the argument in your hand. And as Rabbi Tirschwell points out, it's a difficult argument to hold, and the Gemara was going to poke holes at it the whole day, but hold the following argument in your hand. Since you see that by Tumas Tzibor, by community tuma, if the majority of the community are tame, but specifically tumas mace, they could bring the carbon pesach. Therefore, a kohen who's tame can offer any carbon. Again, not lechatchila, only b'diavad, but still, at least it works. That's their argument. So the Gemara says the Gemara is the first one to poke a hole. The Gemara says yihachi tame sharetz not milaytz bekava chomer mitame mace. So wait a second, you're talking about tumas mace. Tumas mace is the most extreme form of tuma, and if a kohen who's tame mace can offer a carbon and it works. So you don't think the same thing is true by Tumas Sharetz, which is a lighter form of Tuma? So the Gemara says, I totally don't understand how this won't extend to every type of Tuma. Look, if you're Tumas Mace, how do you get out of it? You need a Paraduma. Okay, that's number one. And you need the Paraduma sprinkled on you on day 3 and day 7. It's a 7-day Tahara process. And then even on day 7, you have to tovel the mikveh after that, and you're not going to be okay until the evening. You need Harav Shemesh. Good. So obviously, Tumas Mace is a serious tumma. If you're telling me that the Kohen can do it while in the state of Tumas Mace, and it works, Tumas Sheretz, what happens? You touch a Sheretz. You tovel the mikveh that night, you're fine. Period. Mm-hmm. So you don't think it's going to work over there as well? So the Gemara says, no, they're even. You're right, but they're different. Kesarvi Zikne Dara Mechaprim Kimit Chaprim. So Zikne Dara makes the following equation. The Mechaper is like the Mit Chaper. Mit Chaper Hit Pael, that's the one who's getting the Kapara. Mechaper is the one doing the Kapara. The Kohen is a Mechaper. The one who's offering the Karban is the Mit Chaper. And the equation goes like this. Ma Mit Chaprim Tame Meisin Tame Sheretz Lo. Af mechaprim tamimets in sheretz tamisheretz lo, and it goes like this: when it comes to the mit chaper, the one receiving kapara, that only works by tamas meis. Meaning, you look, open up parshas shlach, right? Open up to parsha shlach. No, shlach. Where's Pesach Sheni? Baloscha. Okay, sorry. Well, one parsha away. Right, you open up to Parshas Baloscha, and you'll see that the Torah only allows Pesach, only allows Tumah B'tzibur only by Tumas Meis, not by any other type of Tumah. So, by the Mit Chaper, it only works by Tumas Meis. The Michaper, the Kohen who's doing it, they're only going to allow it by Tumas Meis. You're right. Sheretz is a lighter form of Tumah, but we don't allow the tzibur to offer the karban, even if they're in a state of tumah, if the tumah is tumah sheretz. It's rather remarkable, meaning, just logistically, if you're going to offer the karban pesach in a state of tumah, you have to go around, you have to poll, and you have to find out who's tamei, and not only you have to find out who's tamei, you have to find out how they become tamei. Because if the majority of the community is tamei through sheretz, nope. We don't have the right to offer carbon pesach in a state of tuma.
But the thing is, but that night their tuma is going to be over.
Just wait 1 second, because that's the next point of the Gemara. My kasavre, e kasavre in shalchtim v'zorkin al tami sheretz amai lo avdi tzibur b'tuma. How kosher b'yachin nidchet tzibur avdi b'tuma. El kasavre shalchtim v'zorkin al tami sheretz. So the Gemara punctuates it like this. The Zitnei Darim, you have to add one more piece of information to their arsenal, to their argument. And that is as follows. Tumas Sheretz, I described it already. You touch a dead rodent, right? One of the Shmona Sheretz mentioned in the Torah. Right? Let's just call it a rodent. You touch the dead rodent. You're Tamei, but here's how you get out of it. You tovel the mikvah that day, and you wait till nightfall. And that night you'll be okay. So the Gemara is saying, according to Zitnei Darim, how come, let's say the majority of the Jewish people are tamei with Tumas Sheretz? How come we are not going to just simply bring the Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah? And the answer is...
It has to be Karban before Sheretz.
Wait just 1 second. And the answer is, because Zikne Darim are of the opinion that it's not a problem. Because what everyone will do is they'll send their Karban Pesach. Remember, it's the 14th day of Nisan. They'll send their Karban Pesach. They won't handle it, their tummy. And the truth of the matter is if your tummy is such a live animal, you don't transfer the tummy over to the live animal. You'll send your Karban Pesach with somebody else, someone who's taller. He'll shech the Karban, he'll have the Kohen shech the Karban Pesach on your behalf. You'll wait till nightfall, and that night you'll eat the Karban Pesach. Meaning that you can shech the Karban Pesach for someone who, for the 14th day of Nisan, is a Tamei Tumasheret. Even though, Bishas HaKrava, at the time when you're offering the Karban Pesach, you can't handle the Karban. I mean that literally. Right. You can't, you're not in a position where you're not even in a position where you can walk into the Beis HaMikdash, or Tamei Sheretz. Right? You can't walk into the Azara. It doesn't matter. Because the fact is that somebody will do it on your behalf. And anyway, by that evening, you'll be totally tahor. You'll be totally in a position where you can eat the Karban Pesach. Ziknei Darim are of the opinion that the reason why Tumas Sheretz is not lifted is because, logistically, it's not a problem. Just have somebody else offer the Karban Pesach that day, and then you'll eat it that night. Okay.
Even if somebody's Tevul Yom, they cannot go and offer the Karban?
No, Tevul Yom cannot. The Mishnah says.
So the assumption is everybody is basically Tevul.
Everyone will be in a state in Tevul Yom, and it's fine. And that's fine. And they'll wait till Erev Shemesh, and then that night they can eat it. Good. So far now, we have presented the argument of Ziknei Darim. Okay, so this is step one of today's Gemara. Ziknei Darim believe that our Mishnah that says that a Tamei disqualifies the Avoda, a Tamei Kohen who disqualifies the Avoda is only if he's Tamei Tumas Sheretz. But if he's Tamei Tumas Mace, it's not going to disqualify the Avoda. I'm going to reiterate, according to Ziknei Darim, they're not saying that this Kohen is invited to do the Avoda. What they're simply saying is that if he does, it's Meratzeh. It's okay. It's fine. The Karban is accepted. The basis for their argument is, look, you see that by Tumas Mace there is occasionally a dispensation. The Torah allows a community to bring a Karban, specifically the Karban Pesach, while in a state of Tumah, notably Tumas Mace. And that dispensation is not true for any other type of Tumah. So since you find a dispensation for Tumas Mace, for the Mitchaper, therefore the same courtesy, the same extension will go to the Mechaper. So the Kohen, who himself is Tamei Mace, not the community, just the Kohen, but still, if he offers it, he will, the Avoda will be Merutza. It'll be fine.
Are you talking about other types of Tumah that are not Sheretz and not
Mace? Yeah, right, I know, there's a wide...
Why did you pick on Sheretz?
It doesn't have to be Sheretz. Sheretz is here just uses a prototype.
Probably the most transient one.
It just uses a prototype. Okay. All right, and here we go. Amar Ula, Takalahu Reish Lakish Lidramai. So Ula says that when Reish Lakish heard of this position of the Southerners, of the South, so he wanted to stage a civil war, if you will. So Takalahu Reish Lakish Lidramai. The word Taka, Rashi said, Sak Lahem Kol Gadol. Like he's screaming. He's so bothered by this position of the Southerners making a distinction between Tumas Mace versus Tumas Sheretz. V'chi eze koach meruba, koach mechaper or koach mitchaper. What offends Reish Lakish more than anything else in this argument is the equation. The equation of mechaper versus mitchaper, the one providing the atonement, meaning the Kohen, that's the mechaper, versus the mitchaper, the one receiving the atonement, meaning the owner of the animal. So he says, so who's stronger? In that, right, put the two on the two sides of the scale. So which one is going to weigh down? So koach mechaper, koach mitchaper. Havi omer, koach mitchaprim. So he says the koach of the mitchaper is stronger. How do I know that? Uma b'makom shenitbu ba'alim b'sheretz mishachon karban oseihem. Because look, if the owners of the animal are tamei sheretz, they're going to still send the karban. So kohen shenitma b'sheretz eino meratze. Meanwhile, if the kohen is tamei sheretz, right, he's off limits. He can't do it. Right, meaning that the owner who's tamei sheretz, he could bring it. And if I now, that's the mitchaper. Now I go to the other side and I look at the Kohen. Oh, you're Tamei Sheretz, so you can't do anything. You're off limits, Right, and if you did it, you're going to disqualify. Malkum shenitmu balim b'meis she'ein meshachin karbono sehem. Kohen shenitmu b'meis eino din she'eino meratza. So now let's take that same scenario and go move it to Tumas Meis. So Tumas Meis, the mitchap here can't even send it. We're talking about a yachid, we're talking about an individual. He can't even send it. So if the mitchaper can't even send it, now you want to make the argument that the mitchaper, the kohen is going to do the avoda, is going to do an avoda with an animal that can't even be sent by the owner of the animal? He says it's totally implausible, it's totally untenable. That we have a scenario where by sheretz, the owner can send it, but the kohen can't do the avoda. And by mace, the owner can't even send it. And the kohen's going to be able to do the avoda? Okay, so Reish Lakish says, it doesn't make sense to me. Now listen to this, because this part of the argument is unbelievable. Kasavri zikne darom, tamei mace nami mishalach karban osaf. So the Gemara, in response to this argument of Reish Lakish, is going to say, you know what they feel? The zikne darom, the southerners, they feel that if you're Tamei Meis, not a community, an individual, if you're Tamei Meis, you could send your Karban Pesach. It's fine. Now, we will say the following.
What's the point in Pesach Sheni then, according to them?
Well, that's going to be the Gemara's next question. But good, you're right on the money. So, okay, fine. Now, I'm going to go read on. Tamei Meis, Nami Meshach Karban Pesach, Bahak Siv. So the Gemara says, that's crazy. And it's crazy for exactly the point that Ben just made. Ish kiyeh tamei v'asa pesach chodesh hasheni. So the Gemara says, you're telling me that according to Zikne Darom, you could bring the Karban Pesach and you're in a state of Tumah? So aside from the fact that you're not eating the Karban Pesach, which the Gemara is going to get to in just a moment, but before we get to that, there's a parsha in the Torah called Pesach Sheni. And the Torah essentially says, if you're tamei l'meis, so don't bring it on Pesach Rishon, bring it on Pesach Sheni. And you're telling me that according to Zikne Darom, you can bring it on Pesach Rishon? There's no need for Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara's answer in defense of Zikne Darom, lemitzvah. What the Torah is telling us is that, the Pesach Sheni is optimal. But if you bring it on Pesach Rishon, it's okay.
But you can't eat it. I couldn't eat it for the
Kohen. The Haksiv. Good. Top of Chav Gimel. The Haksiv Ish Lefi Achlo. It sounds like there's a mitzvah to eat. And more than that, it's more than just a mitzvah to eat. Meaning eating is a prerequisite. In order to bring the Karban Pesach, you have to be in a state of eating or the ability to eat. If you're Tamei Meis, remember, Tumas Meis is a 7-day venture. And assuming that you're not on day 7, assuming that, you can't eat it. So how are you bringing the Karban Pesach when you're not in a position where you can eat?
And when
understood. But right now we're just correct. But this is an attack on their argument using not at Sibor, but using looking at the individual. And so the Gemara's answer over here is lemitzvah. You're right. The Torah says to eat the Karban Pesach, and again, that's not an ikuf. That doesn't mean that if you don't eat it, or it doesn't mean in this case, if you can't eat it, it doesn't mean it took the mitzvah away. So right now, the Gemara is at the point, it's just an unbelievable point that we are in the Gemara right now, the Gemara is at the point now where, in defense of Zikne Darom, what we're saying is that even if you're Tumas Meis, you could still bring your Karban Pesach and Pesach Rishon, even if you're not going to be in a position where you can eat it. This is all in defense of Zikne Darom.
The Gemara is not saying it's not a mitzvah to eat Pesach.
No, it's just it's a
separate mitzvah.
It's a separate mitzvah, but it doesn't. You get right, exactly. You'll get a check, right? You'll get a check for
definitely.
Correct. But in terms of your mitzvah to say of bringing Karban Pesach, remember, if you don't bring Karban Pesach, you're chayv kares. So in terms of your mitzvah of bringing Karban Pesach, check. Right? And you just lost out on the mitzvah of eating Karban Pesach.
It's your household
to eat it. That may or may not be true, but again, you yourself, even though you can't eat it, still the mitzvah works. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, it's remarkable, and the Gemara is just going to be so unhappy with this position we're in right now. Ula kuve lo, the Hatanya, but mechsaf nefashos, the pasuk says, you shecht it based on the number of people you have in your house who are going to eat it. Shachta shalom yav yachol yei ka over al mitzvah tamalama tachosu. The pasuk says tachosu. Tachosu means to eat, to consume. And so hakasav shina alav laakev. So and the Torah is telling us this is it. This is a deal breaker. It's not just it's a nice thing that you have in mind. I'm going to shechta for people who can eat it. No. You must shechta for people who can eat it. And we are going to make a hekesh between the ochel and the menuyav, meaning those who register for the Karban Pesach have to be the ones who eat it. And if you don't shechta for someone who can't eat it, it's simply not going to be a good Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, I just can't imagine that it's out there, there's this position out there that you can shechta Karban Pesach despite the fact that you're not going to be in a position where you can eat it. And the Gemara says, Zikne Darm Lo Makshe. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Zikne Darm don't make such a hekesh. Meaning, the Zikne Darm will tell you, you're right, I have to shechta for people who are registered over the animal. Agreed. But at the same time, if it happens to be that those people who are registered can't eat it, Karban Pesach is still good. Okay, this is again a defense of the Zikne Darum. The Gemara says, okay, you know what? Let's give them all that. Let's give the Zikne Darum that. That meaning, you're right, the Karban Pesach can be shechted even by a Tamei Meis. Meaning even on behalf of a Tamei Meis. Let's give them that. Okay? Even though it's a position which, quite frankly, is not a tenable position. It's not a position that is accepted. But still, let's even give them that. The Gemara says, Reish Lakish is still in attack mode. I still don't understand the argument that goes behind the Zikne Darum. And the Gemara now is going to concede the point and still basically win the battle. Win the war, I should say. So here we'll do is Reish Lakish will just reiterate his argument and just add the word lechatchila, because the argument is still the same argument. Okay, look, when it comes to sheretz, so you the mitchaper, the one who wants to receive the atonement, and by Karban Pesach I know atonement is not the right word, but it doesn't matter. The point is that you could send it. You're tamei sheretz. So fine, lechatchila, you are absolutely entitled to send your Karban Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash, have a kohen shecht it, and you yourself will tovel that day, and that evening you'll sit down and enjoy your Karban Pesach. And that can be done lechatchila. Meanwhile, now let's go to the mechaper. Let's go to the kohen who's tamei sheretz. He's out of the picture. Totally. Unequivocally out of the picture. Now, makom shenit mubalim b'mei she'en meshachim Karban Pesach lechatchila. And meanwhile, if you have someone who's tamei meis, lichatchila, he can't bring the Karban Pesach. So you know what? Fine. Zikne Darum, you want to tell me that bid the evidence, okay, it works? Good. But lichatchila, he goes to his local rabbi, I'm Tamei Meis, can I bring my Karban Pesach? He's going to say, no, you should not. Is it effective if you do? Yeah. Bid the evidence, is it fine? Yes. But should not. So kon shenitma b'meis, eno din she'eno meratzeh. So now that we have established that the mitchaper is one step lower in the case of meis than he is in the case of sheretz. So now you go to the mitchaper, to the kohen, and you now want to make the argument, oh, don't worry, you're tamei meis, you can do the avoda. In the case of sheretz, he couldn't do the avoda. In the case of meis, you're now arguing that he can do the avoda. So Reish Lakish is just simply going to reiterate the argument, even conceding the point, which is not really an accepted point, but even conceding the point that the Pesach works for a Tumas Meis, but still the Chatzchila cannot be brought. And so you see, so how can the Kohen Sheretz, Tami Sheretz, do the Avoda, and a Kohen Meis can't do the Avoda? Other way around. How can a Kohen Sheretz not do the Avoda, and a Kohen Tumas Meis can do the Avoda? It's just simply not tenable. Okay, so this is now Reish Lakish's attack on the Zikne Darum. Okay, it's an awkward period in the Gemara, but period. Meaning, the Gemara is basically going to leave that hanging. Okay? And now what the Gemara is going to do, it seems that way. Correct. It's an awkward period. Now what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to continue its assault on Zikne Darum, and now leaving Reish Lakish basically there, right, as a shadow, as a dark shadow over the Zikne Darum. Now the Gemara is going to challenge Zikne Darum based on other sources as well. Meisvei. Here now we're going to attack Ziknei Darim using a Braisa. So again, going back to the question of who Ziknei Darim are they Tanaim, are they Amoraim? Look, the fact that Reish Lakish challenges them and attacks them makes it sound like they're Amoraim. And then the Gemara is a Meisvei, you know, it's... whatever. It's just unclear who Ziknei Darim is. Mipnei she'amar nazir ve'osa pesach hatzitz maratza al tumas dam ve'inat tzitz maratza al tumas aguf. Okay. Tzitz is one of the begadim worn by the Kohen Gadol. It's the head plate. It's his metal bandana. Golden bandana, I should say. Right? Inscribed on the tzitz is the words Kodesh LaHashem. Kohen Gadol wears it. And the Gemara tells us in many places that tzitz has powers, right? Not mystical, I mean, I'm sure mystical powers, but I'm saying that tzitz creates a halachic reality in that if there is tumah regarding a carbon that is brought, so again, it shouldn't be brought, meaning if, let's say, the blood of a carbon becomes tameh, let's just say, so really, at that point in time, the whole process should be stopped, should not be continued. Yet, if it's brought, the tzitz is meratza. The tzitz has that power to affect atonement and to basically say it, whatever the carbon was brought for, check, it's effective. Okay. The Braisa tells us, "Mipnei she'amar nazir ve'osa pesach hatzitz meratza al tumas dam." If the blood becomes tameh in the example that I just described, where the after shechting the animal, the blood is brought into a bowl, and then something happened, it came into contact with the sheretz, or let's say the Kohen's zav and he touched it, whatever the case is, the blood becomes tameh, and it was still sprinkled onto the mizbeach, it works. The tzitz creates a ritzui. The ain tzitz meratza al tumas haguf, but not for tumas haguf. Period. Now, when the Braisa says Tumas Dam, that's we know what that's talking about. Because but when the Braisa talks about Tumas Aguf, what is it talking about? So the Gemara now explores that very question. And the reason why we're quoting this Braisa and exploring that very question is because based on some of our conclusions, it's again going to be problematic for the Ziknei Darim.
But
yes, I'll explain why in just a moment. B'mai. Ilema b'tumas sheretz. Now, when we say tumas haguf, we're talking, at this point, we think we're talking about the owner of the animal. The owner of the animal is tamei, and what the Braisa is saying is it's no good. Now, are we talking about tumas sheretz? Ha'amar shochtim b'zorken al tumas sheretz. So, remember, we said, in part of our argument on behalf of Ziknei Darim, that a sheretz can actually bring his carbon pesach, because again, on the 14th day of Nisan, he'll just tovel in the mikvah, and that night he'll sit down and eat his carbon pesach. So it's not talking about tumas sheretz, because we know that tumas sheretz is allowed to bring his carbon pesach, ela tumas meis. So when it says tumas haguf, when the Baraisa says that it's not meratz and tumas guf, it's talking about tumas meis. Viktani ein hatzitz meratzah. And the Baraisa says tzitz is ineffective. Alma nitmu balam b'meis. Ein mishach and carbon asayim. So now the conclusion seems to be pretty straightforward, assuming we're correct about our understanding of the word tumas haguf. The conclusion is that if the owner of the animal is tamei tumas meis, it doesn't good. It's no good. It's not going to work. Even the powerful tzitz, which on certain times can affect ritzui, cannot affect ritzui over here. It's just no good. Period. Okay, Ziknei Darim, how are you going to handle that? So the Gemara says, "Lo, Edid Mubalim B'meis Achanami." So the Ziknei Darim will say, "Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge your understanding of the Braisa. The Braisa says Tumas Aguf. You assumed that meant the owner of the animal. I disagree. We're not talking about Tumas B'meis Achanami. Hachamam Ma'iskin Kegon Shenit Makoin B'Sheres. We're talking about the Kohen. We're talking about the Tumah of the Michaper, not the Mitchaper, the Michaper. And we're talking about a case where the Kohen is Tamei Tumas Sheretz. Ihachi emaseifa. So the Gemara says, we're talking about the Kohen. Interesting. Go to the next part of the Braisa. Read the next part of the Braisa. Nizma Tumas HaTahom HaTzitz Meratze. If he become Tamei with Tumas HaTahom, the Tzitz is Meratze. Now, Tumas HaTahom literally translates means Tumah of the Deep. Sounds mysterious. Tumas HaTahom. Okay? We normally assume, whenever we see this, comes up in the Gemara a lot, whenever we see the words Tumas HaTahom, we normally assume it means that you walked over a cemetery, just not knowing that you walked over a cemetery, right? But the truth of the matter is that the words Tumasat Tahom could refer to any Tuma, it just simply means question mark. We don't know. We're just simply unsure if the person is Tame or not Tame. Okay, the example of Mace is simple. Meaning, I walked over a cemetery, I just didn't know. Somebody buried somebody underground over here and didn't put up a tzion, didn't put up any type of marker. I just didn't know. So that's the classic case of Tumasat.
It's not a question of whether you have a... It's not a point of you have a question whether you're Tumah. You don't even know that you may be Tumah, right?
Unless you're the Arizal.
Right. You don't know. You simply don't know. And for that, the Braisa says, tzitz works. Okay? The tzitz is Maratza. Now, I guess what we're discussing is, at a later point in time, you've discovered that you were Tame. But you had no prior knowledge to that fact. Now you can look back and you say, oh my gosh. I just learned that I was Tame, and I brought a car, right? How does that, and the point the Bryce is making is, tzitz is Maratza. Tzitz will handle that. Now, Hatani Rabbi Chia, Lo Amr Tumas Tahom, El Ameis Bavad. So, and on that second part of the Braisa, we have a further clarification made by Rabbi Chia, which is that when we say Tumas Tahom, we're talking about Meis Bavad. We're talking specifically about a Meis. So, La Meis La Mutemai. Now, when he says it only works for Tumas Tahom Meis, what is that excluding? Lav La Mute Tumas Tahom de Sheretz. It means that if it's Tumas Tahom of Sheretz, so it's not going to work. So now, we're kind of at a standstill, because in the first part of the Braisa, what we're saying is that a Kohen Sheretz cannot do the Avoda, and meanwhile, in the second part of the Braisa, we are saying that the Tumas of the Tahom of the Sheretz. Hold on a second. As Rechi Gemir had the Tumas Atam, but now the Gemir Log becates itself. The Tumas Atam, Tumas Safek, the Hasam Efarshes of Tumas Atam. Right. And the second part of the Brisa says that Tumas Tahom of the Sheretz is going to be acceptable. Is going to be fine. So the Gemara says Lo Lemeute Tumas Atam de Ziva. So the Gemara says, no, you assume that when he made the statement, oh, we're only talking about Tumas Tahom of Mace, he was excluding not Sheretz, he was excluding Ziva. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. So the Gemara says Tumas Tahom de Ziva. Kagan. Rashi explains like this. We know Zava is referring to a woman who has a discharge during her 11 days of Ziva. Kagon Ra bin Ashmasho Safek Kula min Ayom Kula min Alayla. The Ein Kan Ela Ri'iya Achas. Safek Chetze min Ayom V'chatze min Alayla. V'hava Lekishte Rios De Zav Metame B'yamim Uv'rios. V'ach Tumas Atom Hu De Memayit Mishom De Chamira De Yotza Alav Migufo. When it comes to Mace, meaning you walked over a cemetery you never knew. You didn't know. You had no knowledge that there was a cemetery over there. There, the tzitz is meratza. However, if it's zava, Rashi gives the example where, let's say, the woman discharged between one day and another day during the Bein Hashmashos period. We are simply unsure. Is that a two-day discharge or is that a one-day discharge? It happened during Bein Hashmashos. We don't know. In Bein Hashmashos, you'll never know. Right? We just simply don't know. It has a permanent status of a suffix. We don't know. So for that, what the Brace is telling us is that tzitz is not maratza for that. Rashi gives a svara. Why not? Because by ziva, the tumah comes out of her body. It is a self-generated tumah. So therefore, we're going to be more machmir by the tumah of a tumas of a ziva. This is what the Gemara refers to as tumas tahom de ziva. The word tahom just simply means it's a state of suffix we don't know. Good. And what? It could be a man also. Could be a zava. Right? Could go either way. And again, what the Gemara now is arguing, it's a little tricky right now. It's somewhat of a complicated sugya. What the Gemara is now arguing is that the second part of the Braisa is not talking about Sheretz at all. It's talking about a different form of Tumah, specifically Tumah Ziva. So now we're going to go back. We're going to be in defense of the Ziknei Darum. What we're going to say is that when the Braisa says that when it comes to the Nazir and the Oseh Pesach, the tzitz is meratza on the blood, but not on Tumah's Guf, that's talking not about the individual, because the individual can bring. It's talking about the Kohen. Kohen can't do the avoda. That's what the Brice is talking about. Either the second part of the Brice is talking about Tumas Tahom, not talking about Sheretz, talking about a different type of Tumah altogether. Let's just quickly wrap up this part of the Gemara. The Ella Hadabai Rami Brachama Kohen Amaratza Bakarnasem, Huchalo Tumas Hatahom, Olo Huchalo Tumas Hatahom. So the Rami Brachama says, look, I'm curious to know. A Kohen who is trying to create Ritsui and he is in a state of suffix. He doesn't know for sure if he's Tamei or if he's not. In the above examples that we gave, walked over a cemetery, didn't know. Suffix Ziva, like we just explained. So Tusha de Tumas Atom, Huch or Low. So based on the Pshat that we just offered in the Braisa, we should say yeah. So the Gemara says, Daha Hacha be Kohen Kaimina, because remember, according to the Zikne Darum, this entire Braisa is talking not about the owner of the animal, the Mitchaper. It's talking rather about the Mechaper. So the Gemara says, the Rami Barchama Vade Pligi. So look, so Rami Barchama is not going to go in conjunction with the Zikne Darum, nor in the Pshat in the Braisa. Granted, I yield you that. Good. So, fine. Leave that out of it. Tashma. One more time, we're going to do this morning. We're going to lay an attack on the Zikne Darum. Again, let's remember. Zikne Darum say that when a Kohen is Tamei Mace, if he does the Avoda, it's okay. Even though that's not the Pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Tamei in general, but they say that Tumas Mace is okay. Why? So their argument is, since you see a general dispensation by Tumas Meis, therefore the Kohen who does the Avodah B'dieved is going to be acceptable. V'nasa Aaron as Avon HaKadoshim. V'chei Eza Avon no say. Aaron is going to be able to carry the sins of Kodesh. So Im Avon Pigol, what are we talking about? If we're talking about Pigol HaRikvar Nemar Lo Yechashev. No. Im Avon no say, are we talking about leftover Karbanos HaRikvar Nemar Lo Yerapseh? So Pigel's out of the discussion. Noser's out of the discussion. Ha eino nosei alav on tumas shehutra mechlala b'tzibur. It has to be talking about something which is hutra b'tzibur, something where there's a general dispensation. My tuma e lemim tumas sheretz hechi shtarei. So look, tumas sheretz, if there's no dispensation for tumas sheretz, as we've already established earlier this morning, ela tumas meis, we must be talking about tumas meis. The lav kagon shenitmu balim b'meis. And what must be the conclusion? Individuals are tamei meis. Ama nitmu balim b'meis meshach and karban aseim. So if the balim become tamei meis, they could send the carbon. Uve mai ibn nazir. So what are we talking about? Which carbon could be sent? If we're talking about a carbon nazir, v'chiyamos meis alav amirachmana. So that can't be, because the Torah tells us that the nazir becomes tamei, it's got to start all over again. The carbon won't work. Elalosa pesach. So the Gemara says it must be talking about the Osa Pesach. So what do you see based on everything we just said? That if you are Tamei Meis and you are Osa Pesach, you have the right to bring your Karban Pesach. This would seem to be a support for the Zikne Darum. Remember, the Zikne Darum says that if you're Tamei Meis, you could bring your Karban Pesach. La'olam b'sheretz. The Gemara says, no, stop it. A Tumas Meis can't bring his Karban Pesach. He has to go to Pesach Sheni. What did the Braisa mean? It's talking about sheretz. V'shem Tumah ba'olam. And when it says hutra, it means the general category of Tumah is lifted. That's why the Tzitzkeh b'Meratzeh, specifically in the case of Tumah. Quickly, I just want to run through the next part of the Gemara, next five lines of Gemara. Ike d'daik umayse hachi. Some read the following argument like this. Avon akadashim in, avon makdishim lo. The avon of kodesh, meaning the meat, the carbon, not the makdishim, not the people. My tuma, ilam tuma sheretz mi yishtari b'tzibor. Alav de tumas meis, v'avon kadashim in, avon makdishim lo. We're going to make the argument that a makdish, that Tumas Meis, cannot bring the Karban Pesach. Olam Tumas Sheretz, V'shem Tumah Ba'olam. The Gemara says no. Really, we're talking about Tumas Sheretz, and when we say Tumah, we mean the general category of Tumah. There's a dispensation. Period. Okay? Wrap it up. Zikne Darum come up with a Chiddush. They say that if a Kohen is Tamei Meis, the Avoda that he does is acceptable. It is Merutza. That's not the simple Pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just simply says Tameh. And Reish Lakish is very, very offended by this chiddush of the Ziknei Darim. Reish Lakish challenges the Ziknei Darim. The Gemara basically ends off by saying that's a fair challenge by Reish Lakish on Ziknei Darim. And then what the Gemara did for the remainder, from the middle of Chav Gimel to where we got up to right now, is that it challenged the Ziknei Darim using an assortment of brisos and mishnayos that seemingly poke holes in the argument of Ziknei Darim. When the day is over, we do not accept the chiddush of the Ziknei Darim. The Tamei, who cannot do the Avoda, is referring to any type of Tumah. Tumah Sheretz, Tumah Smeis, and anything in between. If a Kohen, the Mechaper, if the Kohen is Tamei with any of those types of Tumah, he cannot do the Avoda. Moreover, if he does the Avoda is Mechulal. The Avoda will be in fact disqualified.